Get your Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 24. In January 2013, a 67-year-old woman was driving to pick up her friend about 90 miles from her home. But based on the faulty directions she got from her GPS, she drove all the way to a city nearly 1,000 miles away. The journey took the woman across 5 international borders. She stopped several times to get gas and take naps. She kept pressing onward until she hit her destination. After a few days, her son got worried and called the police, who located his mother by following her bank accounts. She told the reporter, "I was distracted, so I kept going. I saw all kinds of signs, first in French, then in German, and finally in Croatian. But I continued driving because I was distracted. When I passed something I recognized, I thought to myself, I should turn around." That was a losing way. But today, we don't have to worry about the spiritual journey we're on. We know Jesus is coming back. He's given us signs and prophecies in the Bible. Today's message is Jesus is coming again, signs of the times. There are markers in Scripture that guide us. And great news is, unlike your GPS, they are 100% accurate. Amen. We don't have to worry about them giving us the wrong way. We don't have to worry about going the wrong way if we put our faith in Jesus. Listen, my friend. In other words, we can trust the Bible has to say about the return of our Lord. Today, we're going to explore these signs and learn how to discern them in our times. The day we're living, Jesus has given us a clear picture of all that happens. Matthew chapter 24, if you're Sam movie, go down to verse 23. "Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, and there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show you great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We're here to bring your word to your people here at Ephesus. We pray, God, that you would open their hearts and let them know that we have clear directions. Your return is near. Everything points to your return in the society we live today. And Lord, help us look forward to that and help us live lives that please you in these last days upon the earth. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
First of all, we see spiritual deception. Matthew 24, verses 4 through 5. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. We live in a world of spiritual counterfeits. When you turn on the TV or radio or log into the internet, it isn't hard to find people who are trying to lead you astray. In addition to all the sinful programming, we find religious shows filled with the occult, New Age, and openly satanic teachings, all with an intense desire to make you a believer in what they're teaching. We have in our society today everyone that's professing to know when Jesus is coming to try to pinpoint that day, and we have many religious shows that deny that Jesus is the only way to heaven, that Jesus is the one that paid the price so that we might go free. We have in our day today many people that are trying to lead people away from God into their false religions. We have college groups and chaplains, even in the military, for every religion under the sun. And these counterfeits will openly and only intensify and grow in number as the last days approaches. Jesus gave us two very clear instructive warnings. Guard against deception. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. Take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed, or watch out, that no man deceive you. We have this warning from Christ. Watch out for false prophets. Watch out for people trying to lead you astray. Watch out for people that deny the virgin birth of Jesus. Watch out for people that cause you to get away from God and follow their false religion. It's amazing how many Christian people are not even aware of the deception that is trying to flood into our lives on a daily basis, both spiritually and culturally. In fact, many of them unknowingly embrace it. We have got to begin looking at everything through the lens of the Word of God. Does this teaching, does this behavior, does this language match up with what the Bible says? Or another way to put it, would I watch this movie? Would I use this language? Would I allow my kids to participate in this activity? Would I follow this teacher if Jesus were standing here next to me, witnessing the whole thing? We have got to begin holding every teaching, every philosophy against the truth of the Word of God. The second warning is be alert for false messiahs. Verse 5. Chapter 24, verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I'm the Christ, and shall deceive many. Throughout history, there have been people who claim to be the Messiah or the reincarnation of Jesus Christ. These figures are false Christs or messianic pretenders. They have emerged in various cultures and time periods, attracting followers who believe in their claims. Let me give you some notable examples of the false prophets in our day. A Christian prophet in the second century claimed to be the incarnation of the Holy Spirit and predicted the imminent return of Christ. A Jewish mystic who gained a large following in the 17th century, he proclaimed himself to be the long-awaited Messiah and garnered widespread support. However, after being pressed by the Ottoman authorities, he converted to Islam, leading to the disappointment of many of his followers. And then we have Jim Jones. You remember Jim Jones? He was an American religious cult leader who founded the People's Temple in the 1950s. While he did not explicitly claim to be Jesus, he exerted messianic control over his followers, promoting a distorted version of Christianity. The tragic culmination of his leadership occurred in 1978 when he orchestrated the mass murder-suicide known as the Jonestown Massacre. Then we have Sun Moon. Sun Moon was a Korean religious leader who founded the Unification Church in the 1950s. He came to be the Messiah and the second coming of Christ, promoting a theology that combined elements of Christianity with his own teachings. Moon gained substantial following and built a religious movement with a global presence. And then we have David Koresh. David Koresh was a leader of the branch David Enemies, a religious sect that branched off from the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Koresh gained bad reputation for his teachings and events in the unfolded on Mount Carmel Center near Waco, Texas in 1993. Koresh claimed to be a prophet and the final display of Jesus Christ, also referring to himself as the Lamb or the Son of God. David Koresh claimed to be the coming Messiah. These are all false prophets, and we could name many others, but these are people today making the same kind of claims. We must be grounded in Scripture, prayer, and fellowship to safeguard against deception as we see the Christ approaching return today. And then we have global turmoil. Christ predicted global turmoil as a sign of his imminent return. These are things we want to continually be on alert for. Look in verses 6 through 8. Matthew 24, 6 through 8. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. In other words, all these things, pestilence and people being hungry, are all signs of Jesus' return. All these wars we see going on are signs of Jesus' imminent return. Everything that's happening in the Middle East, we see nation rising up against nation. We see Russia going against Ukraine. We see everybody's missiles facing Jerusalem. We see everybody in war today. We see Jesus mentioned two specific areas of global turmoil that we need to be aware of. Number one, wars and rumors of wars and global distress. Imagine working on a jigsaw puzzle, slowly putting the pieces together. Each piece represents a different event or sign mentioned in Matthew 24, 6 through 8. Some pieces portray wars, others represent severe hunger or earthquakes. At first, the puzzle may seem chaotic or confusing, but as we see and as we start to put the pieces together, a bigger picture emerges. In the same way, the signs mentioned by Jesus may seem scattered or disheartening, but they are essential pieces in the grand plan of God's redemptive work. Each event fits together to reveal God's control and His ultimate purpose for the world. It reminds us to trust in His wisdom as to view these events as part of His unfolding plan. All these things, we worry about the wars, we worry about the famine, we worry about people going hungry, but all these are signs of Jesus' return. We should not worry about the wars. We should not worry about things going on in the world today, because all these are signs of Jesus' return. Or think of it this way. Imagine standing on the shore watching the waves crash against the rocks. Just as the waves continue to come and go, we hear news of wars and conflicts happening around the world. It can be overwhelming and alarming. However, just as the waves are a natural part of the ocean, Jesus reminds us that wars and rumors of wars are part of our fallen world. They're part of His redemptive work. They're part of His sign that He's coming again. They're signs of His coming to get His children. So don't fret when you see these things happening. Listen, we shouldn't be consumed by fear and anxiety because these events are signs of the times. Instead, like a sturdy rock among the waves, we should stand firm in our faith and trust in God's plan. Jesus said these things are the beginning of birth pains. And what happens as a woman's labor progresses? The birth pains become more intense and painful. In our lifetime, there have been a moment when there was not a war or some kind of conflict going on somewhere in the world. Think about that. For thousands of years, we've been at war somewhere. Since the beginning of time, God's people have had to fight wars. So think about this as you get ready for the beginning of sorrows. As a woman goes into labor and the pain gets harder and harder and more intense, things of this world, the wars of this world, the famine of this world is going to get more intense also. Things are going to happen according to God's plan. But as these conflicts glow and intensify, it should be a sign to us that the end is drawing closer. Thirdly, Jesus warned us about persecution of believers. Jesus foretells the persecution believers will face. Notice verse 9 through 14 in Matthew 24. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Listen, only in the last few years has the internet become so widespread, and missionaries have gone to foreign lands, that everybody has heard the Word of God. Everybody has access to God's Word. And Jesus says, notice this in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. We're very close to Christ returning, because the internet was invented in the 70s. And 30 years, 35 years or more has passed since the internet has been invented. So we're very close. You've got to remember what we talked about last week. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Remember that. Jesus is coming again. The things Jesus reported and told us about, number one, promise of persecution. Verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Listen, we are the most hated group of Christian people in the world today, because we stand firm that Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only way to save you. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Jesus is the only way to give you eternal life. We are the most hated group of people called Christians that the world has ever known. Muslims hate us. Hindus hate us. Everybody hates us because we stand firm on that Jesus is the only way. Many religions teach that there are many ways to heaven. Many religions teach that there are thousands of ways to God, but there is only one way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen. He made it very clear that he is the only way. Today, many believers around the world are already facing persecution. Did you hear this week a story went out that a man was praying on the sidewalk in one of our cities and they arrested him? He was preaching and praying and they arrested him. They put him in jail. You don't think it can happen in this country, but it's happening. Under our president that we've got today, he is the most ungodly president we've ever had. He's allowed all these ungodly laws to be passed. He's passed same-sex marriage. He's passed gay rights. He's passed all these things that God calls an abomination. God's word is true. Any man that lies with man is an abomination to God. Any woman that lies with another woman is an abomination unto God. You cannot get around it. God is truth, and the word of God is truth. At present in the Western world, the persecution is mild, but in much of the rest of the world, it is severe. In a recent article of the Suffering Church, FaithWorks listed the degrees of persecution one could face for practicing of religious faith. Number one, disapproval. Disapproval. We are not approved by many people because of what we believe. Ridicule. The third thing is pressure to conform to their beliefs. Fourthly, loss of educational opportunities. Fifthly, economic sanctions. Sixthly, shunning. Seventhly, isolation from communities. Eighth, loss of employment. Ninth, loss of property. 10th, physical abuse. 11th, mobile and mob violence. 12th, harassment from officials. And this is what I was talking about earlier. Harassment from officials. This man was preaching on a street corner, telling people about Jesus, and the cops arrested him. We never thought it would happen in this world, but it is happening today. Forced labor, kidnapping, imprisonment, physical torture, murder, or execution. We have a thousand upon a thousands of Christian brothers and sisters around the world that are suffering through the second half of this list. At some point, the same level of persecution could be worldwide. We must stand firm, holding on to our Savior's promise of eternal presence with us. The second thing Jesus mentions, endurance to the end. Look in verse 13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Our call is to persevere in the face of persecution. We must live out our faith boldly and courageously, knowing that our eternal reward outweighs our temporal trials. Imagine a mountain climber embarking on a journey to reach the summit of a towering peak. As they begin to climb, they encounter an unexpected challenge or obstacle. The path becomes steep, the air thinner, and the weather more hostile. Yet their desire to conquer the mountain and to reach the top keeps them going. Along the way, the climber faces physical exhaustion, moments of doubt, and the temptation to give up. The journey becomes a test of their endurance and determination. But deep within their heart, they hold on to the conviction that the breathtaking view from the summit will be worth every struggle and sacrifice. In our spiritual lives, we are also on a challenging journey toward our eternal destination. Jesus in Matthew 24:13, assures us that the one who endures to the end shall be saved. Just like the climber who presses on despite the hardships, we too must persevere in our faith until the very end. Endurance involves staying committed to Christ and His teachings, even when we face the trials, temptations, and the pressures of the world around us. It requires us to hold on to our faith, trust in God's promises, and remain steadfast in our pursuit of righteousness. There will be times when the past seems overwhelming, just like the man climbing this mountain. There will be times when we will want to give up, but we must never give up. Listen, like the climber who finds strength in anticipation of the majestic view from the mountaintop, we find our motivation in the hope of eternal life with God. In conclusion, think about this. Church, let us discern the signs of the times, understanding the challenges and opportunities they present. As we do, let us keep our gaze fixed on the glorious hope of Christ's return. All we have to do is keep our mind focused on Jesus. Keep our mind focused on that eternal home. Keep our mind focused on His return. Everybody here today needs to see the signs of the times. We need to see that the signs are all around us. We need to see that the last thing that Jesus said would happen before His return is happening today. When all the world will hear the gospel, when all the world will hear my word, the end is near. The end will come. Listen, my friend, that has happened today. Our redemption draws near, and we have an incredible privilege in participation in God's redemptive plan for the world. As we wait for the second coming, let us be faithful, courageous, and diligent in sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. For He alone holds the key to eternal life and the fulfillment of all promises. May our lives be a testimony of hope, and may we eagerly await the glorious day when we all will be united with our Savior together for all eternity. Listen, my friend, Jesus is coming again. We have all the signs we need to point us to Christ's return. Wars and rumors of wars, pestilence running wild in our society today, people hungry everywhere, even in America, people living on the streets, people trying to find food to eat. And the wars have always been going on, but they're more intensified now. Listen to me, my friend. We are at the precept of Jesus coming back. He is ready to come back. All He's waiting on is God to say, "Go get my children." All He's waiting on. He's ready. And He's waiting for all of us to get our hearts right with Him. If you're not saved today, I invite you to come when the invitation is given and give your heart to Jesus, because you will not share in the coming of Christ if you are not a believer. You will be left behind. You will be left behind to face the terrible tribulation that's coming on the world. You must get your heart right. You must ask Jesus to come into your heart and save your soul. If anyone's here that does not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to invite you to come as soon as the invitation is given. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that has come out today to hear your word. We pray, God, that I've explained it in such a way that it's understandable and that everyone can grow in their faith and know that the time is coming and the time is short for us to be called home. Help us all to get ready. Help us to be prepared. Help us, as you say, to watch, for your return is drawing near. Your return is imminent, and your return is sure to happen in our lifetime or in our future lifetimes. We don't know when you're coming back. We don't want to set a time, but you know that you are prepared to come when your Father tells you, go get my children. All these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.